Welcome back to the second hour of the broadcast. During the second hour, we're going to talk about the potential new world record hunter killed deer. There's a lot of caveats to that.
Big time.
It's really a nice deer.
It's beautiful.
It was. Where was it killed?
Illinois.
Illinois?
I think so.
So, with a bow and arrow. So, you can't have guns in Illinois, can you?
Shotguns. But they're going to tax them, too.
That's right. They're going to tax them, too. So, we'll talk about that and a really nice deer. Then we're going to talk to our old buddy, retired Lieutenant Kim Leverage. She retired just, I think,
recently.
First of the year with South Carolina Department of Natural Resources. She and her husband are going to start the second adventure, the next adventure of their lives, and which includes buying a sailboat and basically just getting the hell out of Dodge.
Yeah.
Okay, see y'all later.
Exactly.
But she's got a good. They got a good sort of what would you call it? Plan.
Yeah.
You know, mission statement.
Yeah.
For the next adventure in life, I want to talk about that. And, of course, with
the it's going to take me a while to catch up with that. I don't even know where it starts.
I tell you what. Let's do first things first.
Okay.
Is it raccoon?
Well,
Maybe next week.
The initial recipe was rabbit in mushroom gravy.
But you could use raccoon, right?
But I'm going to change it to raccoon in mushroom gravy.
Tenderize first.
And to the texters that says, does raccoon taste like barbecue? What does it taste? Raccoon's not bad. It's a little greasy. Okay? You know, the thing about a raccoon, if you're going to eat it, make sure you are feeding it what you want it to eat for about a month before you whack it in the head.
So mine will taste like cat food.
All right, so we're going to go... Meow.
Yeah.
Rabbit and mushroom gravy, baby. Here we go. It's small game time of the year. Rabbit hunting. Man, you know, I know a lot of people doesn't rabbit hunt to the extent that they used to back in the day. But, man, if you can find somewhere to go, got some nice beagles, it's absolutely fun. And the rewards are this right here. 1 to 2 rabbits cut into serving pieces. All right. Flour, salt, pepper, a little garlic powder. And then you need 1 to 2 cans of cream of mushroom soup. What is not good with cream of mushroom soup? Tell me. And maybe 1 to 2 cups of the of soup cans full of water. We'll get to that later. All right, you're going to season the flour to taste with salt and pepper and the garlic powder. You're going to heat some oil in a large skillet. And then you're going to roll the rabbit in the seasoned flour and brown in the hot oil, okay? And then you're going to take that after you had them all brown, and then I like to use the grease and anything else that's in that skillet. I just pour it all of it. The grease, of course, the rabbit, into a crock pot, okay? Mixing together the soup and water, all right? Then you're going to do this separate before you put it on into the crock pot. You want to get that soup and mix it with the water and get the consistency you like, you know, whether if you want it kind of thick, kind of thin, it's your call. That's where the water comes in. You're going to pour this over the rabbit, and you're going to cook it on low for 4 to 5 hours. If you want it done quicker, you can put it on high, and it'll take about 2. But 4 or 5 on low gets it really tender. The rabbit starts falling off the bone practically, and it's really good. And I like to use the gravy and serve over mashed potatoes and biscuits with that rabbit, and it's really, really, really good. I've always been rabbit's one of those. I love rabbit. Okay, I mean I don't get to partake of it as much as I used to, but rabbit's always been one of my favorites. So there you have it, rabbit and mushroom gravy.
Every time I think about cooking rabbit, I always think about Bugs Bunny sitting in a pot and,
yeah.
You know.
Well, so you got to, that's, dude, you're thinking like that texture a while ago.
That's it.
It's so cruel.
Yeah.
You put Bugs Bunny in a pot.
Yeah, but tell you, now they put Bugs Bunny in a pot and then started heating it up. You don't talk about cruel.
True. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, of course, he was always smart enough to get out.
Yeah, he
Scroll back down there and see if we got anything good to talk about.
All right, it's a... Oh, man.
You got to keep rolling. Roll down some more.
Okay, here it is. Yeah, this is the one I wanted to run by you. Yeah.
All right.
Let's say I live trapped a possum and hypothetically took it to Clemson and let it go. If that happened, it's illegal. If I dumped it off at a national forest, is that legal? No, get them straight. You can't
transport live animals. You can't. Period. You can't move live animals from one location to another.
Period. Legally.
Yeah.
Because of disease and whatnot. Yeah. And whatnot.
That's all you're doing, spreading disease.
Exactly.
And then I think we get in this in the other textures.
Okay. Raccoons invading a home indicates they are overpopulating the area. They are quite, they're very susceptible to diseases such as rabies, which show up especially when they are too numerous, and they will spread the disease to your pets.
Yep.
Okay, there's another. Okay.
My little sister.
Yeah, I'm getting there. My little sister had a rehabbing raccoon sitting on her head like an animated hat one day. I was told, to bring her a bag lunch. As I walked up and held out the bag, the raccoon took an enormous dump of, down the back of her head and her neck. Whew, I just stared at her and the raccoon smelling the stench. Ooh, that was a bad deal. Let's see.
Seemed like somebody would make a text stream
it,
that you could read.
I don't know how Bobby Mac does it.
Without it running backwards.
Yeah. Just start okay. This person's saying that they've had to terminate them at their place, okay, because of the same problem. And that's pretty much ones that are relevant there that are worth reading on the air. I'm not saying that your texts are not good, but we got a time frame here.
We had one that was talking about rabbit season. Roll back on
When I think of rabbit hunting, I think of Opie Taylor. Amen to that.
There, that's a good one. We appreciate you.
Anything related to Andy Griffith Show, we're with you, buddy.
Yeah. And we appreciate your text, even though
we do.
We'll have to train Springer on reading them a little bit better.
It's really hard when they come in really quick. Yeah. It's mind-boggling.
What was it? It says thermite grenades wouldn't have gotten a stench. I told her.
That was the guy that had
that was one with the diarrhea.
Yeah, down the back of her head. Okay.
Yeah.
And you cannot transport any
but
animal.
I understand that raccoon diarrhea is good hair conditioning. Really
I don't know. Does it make it shiny?
I'm sure it did for a little while.
I did. I'm sure it did.
Awesome.
It had a nice aroma to it as well.
A nice aroma.
What shampoo brand is that?
Hey, dude, they stink.
It's called Coom Poopa Noopa.
Yeah, that's right. Make you a coon skin hat. All right. Well, let's go to our break. Then when we come back, we'll start talking about the potential new world record hunter-killed deer, and we'll try to sort that out for you.
And maybe go to the phone lines right here on Upstate Outdoors, 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station. Stay tuned.
Well, we might get to this deer story, but first we got Pat from Blue Ridge. Pat, welcome to Upstate Outdoors.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good, Pat. What's on your mind?
Oh, I had a couple questions piggybacking off both of those. I got a little farm pond. We lease about 70 acres up in Blue Ridge. We got some cattle out there. We got a farm pond. We had some beavers out there. They built a nice big old dam up, and somebody come out there and trapped the beavers. So we're beaverless this year. The dam's suffering with all the rain we got, kind of busted through, ponds down. Question is about transporting live animals. If I was to say maybe – I mean, how would I go about getting a beaver or two relocated back onto the pond?
Pretty much anything that you have to do when it involves moving wildlife. Okay, I mean, there's the Springer method. Okay,
don't listen to him, Pat.
Of just
listen to what Phillip's telling you.
Finding one somewhere and doing it anyway. But the problem with that to be responsible, you need to get DNR involved and let them know what you're doing, because it's illegal to transport live animals from one area to another. And it's like Springer said, because of the threat of transferring disease from one place to another. But I would almost guarantee you this. If you've got a pond, sooner or later, how long have you been without beavers?
It's been about, I'd say, at least a full year. I'm not exactly sure when they were trapped. It's been at least a year since I've seen any activity.
They will show back up. If there were two or one or two that were there, they will show back up. You might have to suffer through it for a while, but it's kind of like anything else. If there was something there that attracted those beavers in the first place, they'll be, because they continue to reproduce and they're expanding. If you've got a pond, you'll have beavers in it before too long. So I wouldn't worry about it. I don't know that it would be worth the effort of trying to convince DNR that you need to take right. beaver somewhere else and bring them in.
And what'd you have on rabbits there, Pat?
And for what I was going to piggyback off that stew recipe, I was thinking maybe you brown some beaver up in a skillet, scrape all that grease off, throw some frog legs in after that, in your mushroom soup.
Excellent.
Okay, a scoop of blackening powder, stir it all up, call it swamp stew.
I like it, Pat.
Now I see what happened to your beavers right there, bud.
I've been thinking about it. I heard about a recipe, something similar, man. That's why I miss my beavers so much.
Yeah, I've eaten beaver too, Pat. I ate it one time at Ted Nugent's house in Michigan, and it wasn't too bad either.
Hey, guys, appreciate it.
All right, Pat.
I'm not even going to touch eating beaver.
I'm serious.
Okay, nah.
I'm talking about, you're terrible.
I'm not even going there.
Good God. Let's talk about a big buck.
A
big buck.
No, let's get the text line here.
Okay.
What was it says? One of the texts says, anything new with the South Carolina Bob White Quail Initiative?
That is correct.
I have not heard. I saw that they're meeting.
Yes.
But I don't know. I don't know anything specific.
Me either.
Says, hey, guys, I thought you were supposed to kill the raccoon before wearing them as a hat. let's see. The only critters I've seen around here that seemed rabid have all been raccoons, and I give them a wide berth.
Okay.
Yeah. Trash pandas are mean. I'm going to tell you that. I mean, they got good PR because they look like a panda and they got cute faces, but they're mean. Skip that one. I just heard about this a few weeks ago with all this talk about coons this morning. How about the jewelry people make from a raccoon's penis bone? And that's a serious thing, otherwise known as coon
jewelry.
Coon jewelry.
I don't know about coon jewelry, but if anybody out there is fans of the TV show The Moonshiners, that little white thing that they're putting in the end of that copper pipe right before it drips out into the jar.
So where they distill all the moonshine
this is the final where it's coming out of the last piece of pipe.
Where it goes into the mason jar.
Where it goes into the mason jar. That is a coon penis that they use to put in that pipe because it's almost at a 45-degree angle.
Yeah.
And it drips right into the mason jar instead of kind of coming straight out and overshooting, and it catches it, and it's able to get a steady stream.
So the only thing up in the mountains that they could find at a 45-degree angle was a coon penis.
Dude, these guys are mountain men, man.
Yeah.
They make their own liquor, kill their own food, and use the penis bone, too.
Who was the first guy to come up with that?
That's a great question.
You know
question.
What we need? We need something that bends 45 degrees. Anybody got any ideas? Hey! I got an idea.
Man, when you're drinking good quality liquor, you'll be amazed at what you come up with.
And you wouldn't worry about having to disinfect it or anything.
No, it's disinfected immediately.
I wonder if they name it. No, Money Penny is waving us away.
Money Penny.
She's got her finger poised over the button.
She thinks we're going to make a mistake.
Yeah. But no, we're right there. We can toe the line.
We're trained professionals.
We're professionals.
We've come a long way.
Thank you for your text today.
Absolutely. Made the show.
We welcome them at 71307.
Made the
71307. Show. 71307. I'm supposed to say the Common Sense Retirement Plan.
Common Sense
line.
Retirement
I don't know that we want to tie them to this discussion.
Well, that's
about
true. Tony might get, you know, I like Tony.
Nah,
Tony's a good guy.
He'd chuckle about
it.
He'd say, okay, yeah, whatever. Right. Well, okay. We welcome your text, and we thank you for them.
Yes, very much
so. Also, you can always call us on the Ingles Advantage talk line. That's 1-800-347-1063.
So there you go. I told you that would come. I told you your coon story would open up a can of worms. Was I correct, sir? Yeah.
And the best thing about it is next week when we're at Cabela's.
Oh, my gosh.
With the guides and outfitters, I hope to have the ending to that story.
Yeah, that's right.
And tell you how those handcuffs work.
Excellent. Yeah. That's a good deal.
I wonder if they'll work in the flower bed.
Sure they will.
What do you bait them with?
My mom uses sardines.
Sardines?
Yeah. You know, the old small, thinny, just peels and leaves them right there. Bingo.
Well, I got to have something that's going to go in. It's about the
size.
Well,
you can take a sardine out and shove it down in the hole.
Yeah.
And where he sticks his hand down in there. Absolutely.
I'll try that.
Mamas, they because of the smell, they'll pick up the scent of those sardines way before. Yeah. Especially if you kind of set it up to where that scent's going to where you think the coons are coming from. Yeah. Oh, they coming.
Yeah, I know which way they're coming
okay,
from.
Okay, well, then that's all you got to do, dog.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Mom uses sardines.
Well, there you go.
And Mom doesn't relocate many critters either.
Oh, she don't. How do you think Springer comes in here and says, well, I've eaten beaver once as a kid, and I ate a turtle once, and I've eaten.
Buddy Petey wants the thought.
Yes, ma'am.
My grandpa used to use wet cat food.
Wet cat food.
There you go.
They're already eating the cat food.
I got plenty of that.
Okay. Thank you, Money Penny.
Plenty of wet
Money
cat
Penny
food.
Is now a certified member of this madness called the Upstate Outdoors.
Can't stand it. All right. Well, let's go to our break. When we come back, we're going to ring up our buddy, retired Lieutenant Kim Leverage, and talk about what she's got planned for the next stage of her life.
Right here on Upstate Outdoors. 106.3 WORD, the Upstakes Talk Station, having a fun time talking to you people out there in radio land today. Philip Gentry, Tommy Springer, and Money Penny. Stay tuned.
Welcome back. Upstate Outdoors is on the radio. You're listening to 106.3 WORD. Of course, we got a lot of folks who are also listening streaming on the radio.com app. You can download the app and get that right to your smartphone. Listen to Upstate Outdoors. And if you don't have time to listen to us now, you can always listen to the podcast later on.
While you're sailing around in the Bahamas somewhere.
Well, yeah, if you were sailing around in the Bahamas.
How you like that segue, Kim?
Yeah. Speaking of which, we got our old buddy. Can we still call you Lieutenant, or do we just have to call you Kim?
Well, you can still call me Lieutenant. I kept my commission, so when I come back in a few years, I can get out there and help the officers, do some volunteers. You know, we got a lot of great volunteers in South Carolina that have helped out while I was working, so I'm going to give back some.
Oh, it lets you keep the gun, too. So that'll yeah. Springer said that'll be important in case there's pirates out there on the high seas.
Yes. Well, you know, I was hoping to make captain in my retirement, but my husband beat me to that. So it's Captain Dave and, I guess, First Mate Kim.
No.
Well, there you go.
No, Kim. I mean, come on, man. I've been married 34 years. That's bogus. You're always the captain.
Yeah.
So true. But, you know, sometimes you have to spin it a different way.
Well, Kim, congratulations on your retirement with South Carolina Department of Natural Resources. And, you know, a lot of folks kind of like, well, I guess I'll go to the Hardee's and meet up with a bunch of people and, you know, kind of hang out. That's not what you guys are going to do. Y'all basically sold the house and going to hit the high seas.
Yep, we've sold just about everything. Our house with all of our contents, some folks from New York bought that, even my toaster. But I did need a toaster for the boat, but I'll get another one later. We're living in our rental in Merle's Inlet. We're looking for a boat, and we've started our website now. It's sailawaywithussc.com, and we've got a Facebook page. But we're doing weekly acts of kindness, and we're going to do that in every island that we go to around the Eastern Caribbean. But while we're looking for that boat, we're going to do it here. I don't know how many of you knew this week was Law Enforcement Appreciation Week.
Right.
And Wednesday was that day, and I loved it. A lot of the kids that have been in the programs that we've done with DNR got out and did some things for their SROs. I drove around, stopped at a lot of stations, brought in Krispy Kreme and all kinds of goodies. Next week, we're going to be traveling to Brunswick. We're going to Brunswick, Georgia, and some of the Savannah area to look at a couple of boats. We're looking at a Fountain Peugeot, a 43, and then we've got a 38-foot lagoon we're looking at. But while we're there, we're going to be doing something called Wake Up America, and we're going to be taking coffee to recovery homes. I'm sure you guys are aware of the huge drug epidemic that's hit our youth and what's going on out there. And so next week, that's what our act of kindness is going to be, is to try to reach out to some of these folks that are in these recovery homes. We've actually got a young man that we know in the Brunswick area that was a veteran, and he's 7 months clean, and we're very proud of him. And so we're going to stop in. And so we encourage everybody next week to give back, take some coffee, books, something, and locally at a recovery home, or send it to us, and let's wake up America and clean up this drug problem we've got.
And that is awesome, Kim. Is that part of a larger organization, or is this just an initiative that you and your husband have taken on yourselves, saying, hey, look, we're retired, we got time, and let's give back to the community?
Yeah, it's our own initiative. You know, Jennifer, I've met so many wonderful families and kids. I've been very blessed, you know. DNR 24 years, and I was in the military for 6 years, so I retired with a total of 30 years. But in that time, I have met so many wonderful people, families, kids wanting to give back. And so this is a way of me reaching out to all these folks that I know and asking them to all, let's try to be just a little better to each other, and let's make America great again.
Awesome.
That is awesome. And to do that from the deck of a sailboat as your home base of operations is not too shabby either.
Right, right. Get a tan while we're there. You know, once we get in the islands, it's going to be a little different. We're looking at going in and doing some tutoring, but also linking up some of these kids as pen pals from the islands back to South Carolina. Also, I've got some teachers interested that have been in the archery program or in the Hunter Ed volunteer that are going to come over and actually teach for a week or so in the summer, and they get to stay on our boat while they're doing it.
Wow.
So we've got lots of little things in the work. We've just got to find that boat, though.
Well, what are you looking for? I noticed on your website that you're kind of favoring a catamaran. And this is going to be a liveaboard, right? This is going to be something that you're spending the majority of your time on.
Right. We're definitely going to live on it for 3 years at least. Maybe longer, all depends. But we're looking at somewhere between a 41, 43-foot catamaran with three berths, a nice-sized galley, water maker, generators, something that will be just like riding around in an RV on the water, I guess you'd say.
Okay, well, I just got a great idea, Miss Kim. Now, you're going to go to these different islands, and in between these islands, if you want to really show up with a bang, all right, here's what you need to have on your boat. You need to have a couple of dadgum places where you can put some rod holders, all right? And you're going to troll, listen to me, and you're going to troll from island to island. And as you're doing that, you're going to pick up all kind of great fish. So when you show up to the new island to spread cheer, you got dadgum fresh fish on the deck. Everybody's happy, 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 and it can only go forward from there. So how's that idea?
Hey, I love it. Fish and rum. Great combination.
Exactly.
And she said she wasn't going to spend all of her time drinking rum punches and snorkeling, but there was going to be plenty of that to go around.
I always spread better cheer when I'm drinking some rum drinks and, you know, whatnot and whatnot. So there you go. Good deal, Miss Kim. I like it.
Yeah. Hey, you guys will have to come for a visit and give me some of that those fishing techniques I see sometimes that you guys have got on your Facebook page. Looks like you guys know what you're doing.
Well, I tell you, Ms. Kim, if I ever make it to the Bahamas, I have a bad feeling. I ain't coming back.
Yeah.
I'm just going to stay there.
I think if
I'm
your
be like Howard Sprague, okay? Yeah. I have my little hut down there, you know? Yeah, okay.
If your wife ever gets you out of the country, I think, if she ever gets you deported, I don't think she'll let you back.
No, she'll keep me out. Trust me.
Well, Kim, as far as working with some of the folks, do you have a connection already down there in the Bahamas? You were talking about, you know, trying to tutor in schools and doing some volunteer work. Do you have connections down there already, or are you going to go in and just say, hey, we don't have anything to do. What y'all got for us to do?
Well, we're pretty much going to go in, but we have in the past made a few connections. My husband and I have sailed all around the island, but it's been like 2 weeks at a time because we had to come back to work. So in the past, we've made some connections. We've done some school supplies donations. But, yes, we'll be, again, some of those islands, we won't know a soul. We will just go into the local school, the local church. You know, a lot of folks don't realize that school at a certain age, I think for most of them, is not required at most of the islands. School is not required. And so we have found that, especially on some of those smaller islands, they're in desperate need of school supplies and teachers. My husband speaks four languages, which comes in handy. So we're just hoping that we can dock the boat and head to land and volunteer our services.
Wow.
Awesome. And if folks want to keep up with you and the adventures that you're having and, you know, maybe send you some well wishes or something like that, what's the best way for them to stay in touch with you?
We have a website. It's sailawaywithus.sc.com. We've also got a Facebook and an Instagram account. And again, it's Sail Away With Us SC.
Awesome.
Awesome. So, folks, and you also got a Facebook page, the same name, Sail Away With Us. Go to the page. You can like there, and I'm sure you're going to be posting all kinds of videos and pictures. So folks can just say, well, that girl used to be with the DNR. Look at her now. She's in the Bahamas.
Yep.
Yes. And it's sort of slow starting right now because we haven't hit the water yet with that boat. But we are going to have a lot of great videos. We're going to have a lot of different things on our Facebook where you can win a trip with us. All you got to do is pay for your airfare. We've also got some promotional items we're going to be giving away here in the future. So, yes, I hope they'll follow us on Facebook or on the website. And who knows, maybe come for – I would love it if every year a couple of these kids that have been so great in the program that their families have become so dear would say, hey, Miss Kim, can I come for a visit? Because we'd love to have them.
Awesome.
Awesome. Kim Leverage, good luck. We're really jealous. We'll be sure to follow you on your Facebook page. Yep. And y'all just get out there and have a good time.
All right, guys. Thank you. Be kind.
All right. You too, Miss Kim. Wow.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
Dude.
I don't know that I could go with that small of a boat, though.
No. I mean, that's the only thing I would maybe do different.
Boat Girl got her name from you know, back in her younger years, her dad liked to sail a lot. And
yeah.
So they sailed around and kind of did the same thing. They had to leave out of Charleston and go there. And so she would, at one point we were kind of looking at sailboat and I walk. It's like walking into a travel trailer or camper. I'm like,
Yeah.
I look at the headroom in there.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Because you're very tall.
In the shower.
Man. Yeah.
And looking at the shower.
Yeah.
Of course, I guess if you're down there in the Bahamas, I don't know.
Yeah.
You just.
How much time would you spend indoors?
Yeah.
I mean, except to maybe sleep.
Yeah.
I sleep under the stars, cuz.
Yeah.
Golly, the Bahamas.
That sounds like one of those things. It's like, you know, and people think, you know, in my retirement years, I that's something I'd really like to do and just never get around to doing.
Yeah.
So.
So good stuff from Miss Kim. Miss Kim's always done great stuff in all of her years at the DNR, working with the kids and
the take one and make one project.
So she's just going to take this into retirement and take it to another level. So
that's awesome.
Awesome, man.
Well, let's go to our break. Then when we come back, we'll have plenty of time for the calendar of events.
Yeah, I'm going to pick your brain.
And our parting shot. And then we might even talk a little bit about that deer. I don't know. We may get there. We may not.
Right here on Upstate Outdoors, 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station. Stay tuned.
Ain't that the truth?
Ain't that the truth?
One thing leads to another.
Yeah.
And so we get to this point of the show, and Springer jumps into the calendar of events.
All right, starting next weekend, all right, January the 19th, noon to 4 p.m., is going to be the Guide and Outfitters deal at Cabela's, and we're going to be doing our live show from there.
That's
okay?
Right.
So they're going to have people about trout fishing, fly fishing, and also some other outdoor outfitters that you can talk to. And you can also, if you want to take some time, you can pick me and Phillip's brain about maybe you've been thinking about going to the Clinton House Plantation and you want to know firsthand what we saw and what it's like, and we'll be more than glad to tell you. And Phillip sees so many people, fishes with so many people. If you just want to pick his brain a little bit, you know, not while we're trying to do the show, but during the break or before and after, we'll be more than glad to, you know, send you into any direction that you may want to go. And then, let's see, I got to figure out how to work this, okay? Okay, that's coming up in February, so I'm going to do this. So we're going to stay with this, and then coming in February, the first and second and the 8th and 9th, okay? They're going to be having Crappy Madness free fishing seminars, and our own Philip Gentry is going to be part of that. And he will be there on the 1st and the 8th. Would that be correct, sir?
Yep.
All right.
Now I'll be there Friday night and Saturday.
Okay. And what is going to be?
One seminar Friday and two seminars on Saturday.
Well, what are some of your topics you're going to be covering?
Crappy fishing tactics.
Okay. All different kind.
Yep.
Okay. And we may have a live show in there. Sometime
we are. We're going to have a live show on the 9th.
On the 9th.
Is it the 9th or
whatever Saturday that falls on?
Whatever Saturday, yeah.
So, you know, there's going to be a lot of there's going to be a lot of activities going on at Cabela's. We're going to be a part of it. You know, this is the time of the year, as we started this show with, telling everybody, hey, you know, there's not much season, but you can be getting yourself prepared for the next season. And we also got the boat show coming up.
We got the Upstate South Carolina Boat Show.
Upstate South Carolina
Boat Show. You want me to
cover that? Yeah. What's going to be the hardest thing for me is now the Greenville Convention Center and not the TD Convention Center. Would that be correct, sir?
It's Textile Hall.
Okay. Well, I love it. You're going to have
the Upstate South Carolina Boat Show. It's going to be at Textile Hall, whatever they're calling it today. that's going to run from Thursday, January the 24th. The doors open at 12. They go from 12 to 9 on Thursday. Also be Friday, January 25th, 12 to 9. Saturday, the 26th, from 10 to 9. And then they'll wrap up the show on Sunday, January the 27th, from noon to 6 p.m. Now, on that Saturday, January the 26th, that's 2 weeks from today.
Correct.
Upstate Outdoors will be broadcasting live from the boat show, as we have done since the inception of the program.
And I didn't get an email on any of that this week. I don't think nobody sent one. They wasn't sure if it was all. So that's why I'm kind of non-void.
I got it.
Okay, gotcha.
We're going to be there.
All right.
We'll be at the boat show. You can come out there. It's 1 Exposition Drive in Greenville. You can go to their website at upstatescboatshow.com. It's pretty much the same. If you've been to boat show before, it's going to be the same thing. And looking forward to having a good boat show this year.
And also coming up on February the 7th, which is a Thursday, and also February the 9th, our own Bass Chaplain, Chris Wells.
Yeah.
He's going to be giving you a motivational speak at the First Baptist Spartanburg Recreation Center, which is right beside the Baptist Church. It's a very huge complex, really huge, in the dining hall. And the Thursday event's going to start at 6:30 p.m., and the Saturday will be at 6 p.m., and the ticket deadline is February the 3rd, and they're going to have door prizes, shotguns, rifles, fishing rods, and they're going to have some really good food to eat. They're going to have gator bites, venison hash, frogmore stew, bog, and raccoon in a crock pot. And I just made that up.
I was going to say.
And courtesy of Philip Gentry.
Yeah.
Okay, and if you want to get some information and maybe even get your tickets, there's two ways to do it. You can call 864-596-4108, or you can go to the website fbs.org/wildgame, and you can also go to Chris Wells' website, and tickets are available, and he will send you in a direction to get those tickets. They want you to have them before February the 3rd. All right, and coming up on February the 8th, we've got a hunting heritage banquet, Aiken County Chapter, Aiken County Fairgrounds, and that's going to be going on the 8th, starts at 6 p.m., and for more information, you can contact Brian at 803-502-4378 or go to the NWTF website, local chapter, and push events, and it's right there. So there's your calendar events. Made chicken out of chicken poo.
Chicken scratch.
Thank you for the assistance there.
We got a lot of stuff where we're going to be on the road in the next in the next month or so. Also,
right. And
this is not on the calendar of events yet, but the South Carolina Chili Cook-Off in Belton is going to be coming up in April.
Right.
We always have that, mm-hmm. and just saw on our calendar downstairs, we'll be back there again.
Really?
Yep.
The big chili cook-off.
The big chili cook-off. Looking forward to that.
And big Belton.
Speaking about stuff that kind of gives you.
Oh,
just hit the button.
That ain't happening.
Nah.
We can't even keep our own selves out of trouble.
Yeah, that's true. All right, folks. Our parting shot for today comes from the rare.us. Website. Never heard of it before, but found it on here. And it's a story of a college student who ate his ex-girlfriend's fish, then sent a picture of his poop after he ate it, and with the caption, "Hey, babe, found your fish." Nah, seriously, we can't make this up.
He's not making it up.
A 21-year-old Ole Miss student Maxwell Taffin, who should probably at least be on some sort of low-level watch list for a little while.
You know what's wrong with him? It's all them cowbells they ring at those football games.
I thought that was Mississippi State.
No, it is Mississippi State. Ole Miss is the Rebel.
Okay.
It's a hottie-totty got to him.
There you go. Anyway, he should be on some kind of low-level watch list for a while. He was arrested for eating his ex-girlfriend's fish and then later taking a picture of his feces and texting it to his ex with the caption, "Found your fish." And rightly so. Taffin, who was 18 at the time of the incident, has been charged with cruelty to animals. I don't get that. I don't understand how eating a fish is cruelty to animals. And improper telephone communications, that's sending unwanted pictures of your poop, is illegal, kids. Now, look, it's a fish. It's not like he ate a cat or something. The thing probably forgot it was being eaten while it was being eaten, twice. So the outrage at a living thing being killed here shouldn't be too high, relatively speaking. It's more the idea of the act. He didn't break something of hers. He killed something of hers, and by eating it. And then he sent a picture of his poop. That's a psycho move, especially the poop part. I don't care where you're from.
Bingo.
Now, the incident occurred when Taffin's ex-girlfriend allowed him and a few friends to sleep in her dorm room after the Ole Miss LSU game in 2016, in which they were in town for. Now, when the victim returned to her dorm room, Taffin said, "Check your fish tank." She noticed the fish was missing, and shortly after, she got an update on its whereabouts, blah, blah, blah. When the questions by the LSU police, when questioned by, it's not LSU police, it was the Mississippi, Ole Miss police.
By the law.
When questioned by the law, Taffin told them, "Yeah, I'll be honest with you, I ate the fish." Now, considering that this happened after an SEC football game at LSU, of all places, there is nearly 100% chance that Taffin was drunk when this happened. There's also an 80% chance that he was so blackout that his blood was actually just basically a hurricane. Still, though, the poop thing, which presumably happened a fair amount of time later, can't be excused away by the consumption of alcohol or an entire fifth of Fireball on the parade grounds.
Good God, Moneypenny, entire fifth of Fireball.
That's the sort of thing you hear about someone doing and either tell them to seek legitimate help or lose their phone number. So
I think he'd have been all right if he'd just stayed to eating the fish.
Yeah.
It might not have took a real bad turn, you know.
I don't understand.
I don't either, man.
I mean, if he had eaten her corn on the cob, I could see where that would show up later.
Right. But you're terrible, Philip Gentry. But, you know, people out there really need to.
I don't know how you'd know that somebody had eaten. And I'm assuming it's a goldfish, right?
I don't know, man. Them people down in Louisiana, they keep all kind of stuff in their and their daggum, you know, fish tanks. Could have been
a lionfish, maybe.
Maybe. Could have been some bass, some crappie. Yeah. You know, might have had a couple Oscars in there, you know. Oscar eats good.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Looks like a big bluegill.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just you know, get the scales off of him, brown him. I mean, flour and just throw him in the grease.
I don't think I think it kind of went like, you know, from the fish tank. It was more or less kind of a sushi type move.
Okay. Well, see, I don't do sushi of any kind, shape, or form. I mean, it's just like that. It's just like that daggum squid you had on our Facebook page.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that squid's dead, so he was just reacting to the salt on his own skin.
Yeah, if you don't know what Springer's talking about, somebody posted it was like the newest outrage in food where they're taking a squid and they're cutting the top of its head off, so it is dead.
It's dead.
And then they're, what are they putting it on, a bowl of rice?
A bowl of rice, it looked like.
And then they put soy sauce on it.
Yeah, and it just started going crazy.
And that makes the
legs move.
The nerves respond to the salt.
That is correct.
That was nasty.
Now, I'm a big fan of calamari. I'll eat me some fried squid.
But it's got to be fried
It's
first.
Got to be fried, dyed, and laid to the side, my friend. If I want a raw squid, he's going on a circle hook, and he's going down to that school bus and jack a red snapper up, okay? How about that tuna? Did you hear about that? The price on that bluefin tuna?
I did not.
At the China auction, it was millions of dollars for one tuna, man. One bluefin tuna. It was like $3 million. I think it was. Yeah.
$3 million for a bluefin tuna.
It must have been some fine meat on that tuna, cuz. It was Japan market, you know. And then, of course, you know, the 106.3 news guys, you know, they're just reading the news. They're talking, the bluefin tuna is almost extinct. The bluefin tuna is not almost extinct. The numbers are low. And the reason that they're coming back is because of the fishermen in the United States of America that has done a lot to bring those numbers of bluefin tuna back to where they was once. They're not going to be extinct, okay?
So they got a real limited season on. I've actually been bluefin tuna fishing with some commercial fishermen.
I would love to do that.
And we got one bite.
Yeah.
You know, if you've ever watched the TV show, there's
Wicked Tuna.
And we were out there bouncing around, I mean, seeing all kind of stuff. And we got one bite, and it was like, zzz, boom.
Yeah.
And that was it.
It's a bad fish, man.
Awesome. Well, that's the end of our show. I want to thank our guest today, former Lieutenant Kim Leverage. And we'll catch up with Mike Johnson later on. Springer, that's the end of the show. Take us home.
God bless. Appreciate you being here each and every week. We'll talk to you next week. Hey, love you, Mitt. Get those coons out of the garage and put them in a crock pot.
But yeah! Don't eat them and tell your girlfriend about it later, though. Not good.